It's time finally, Ryan, for the sequel, basically, to the Miami Grand Prix, the European-directed sequel, the Monaco Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah. Real marinas, lots of money, rich women, rich men, royalty, you name it.
Yeah, interesting that typically you have the practice sessions Thursday and then all the fashion and craziness Friday before quali Saturday, race Sunday, right?
Right.
But did they give a reason why they switched it around this year?
To shorten the length of the weekend.
Because it's so many back-to-backers.
Well, just the F1 schedule is out of control.
It really is. So let's get into the Monaco Grand Preview.
Fucking Raikkonen. What a fucking idiot.
Come on, get that McLaren out of the way. This guy is a f***ing joke.
With 5 laps remaining, so we need to keep this pace up.
Hey man, don't talk to me through the corners. And he just went off.
Going to retirement. Tony man, vomiting. Going in, I'm vomiting. I'm going to drive.
Understood. Stop.
This is Purple Sector, Helmut and Rye Guy on the mics.
Oh, yeah.
Excited for Monaco. You're right. They are coming. The races are coming so hot and heavy and just crazy venue after crazy venue, you know?
That's how it goes, man.
The calendar now is, an insane trip around the world.
Yeah, and we go to Baku next. Just a short jaunt to Azerbaijan.
Yeah, crazy. Just quick reminder for y'all. To hit up the mail, box, call 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753 to leave a voicemail or shoot us a text. Also, follow at Purple Sector Pod on social media. You can slide into our DMs over there.
Follow me on Instagram.
And go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Search Purple Sector F1 Podcast and click all the thumbs ups and subscribes and alerts and all that good stuff. Y'all know what to do. But now, Ryan, what we have to do is get into Monaco, and we have mailbox, box, and news. What do you want to get into first here?
Let's open that mailbox, box.
All right. I just told y'all how to do it, how to send for the mailbox, box, and now time to whip it open.
Box.
Kick it off, Rye Guy.
So we'll start.
You've got the first letter over there.
Yeah, this is becoming a tradition at this point.
Win or lose, though, it's tradition.
Yes, but we've been leading off the mailbox box with the message from the resident Supermax fan, Ken Bila. He, of course, reached out. You know, he's never quiet after a Max win, that's for sure. So this is what he said. DRS red liability issues and a trip through the gravel made it tough, but good driving and a bit of luck made it a good day for Max Supermax. Top of the standings for Max Supermax. And Red Bull, nice.
Nice, he says.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's just on cloud nine.
Yeah,
and he's watched Max reclaim the lead, not reclaim, grab the lead from Charles heading into Monaco.
Yeah, chipped away, basically, because, as we know, Ferrari were shot out of a cannon. It looked like they were going to prance all the way to all the hardware. But this is the new Red Liable team. It's... If the cars can come home, they'll probably get a 1-2. Max will win. And if
it's
they
not
can't,
reliable, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's the Red Liable. I was just making the pun of Red Bull. This is Red Bull now. It's right. Been going even in the last season that if Max finishes, he wins or he DNFs.
Right. I mean, the car is fast. It's definitely fast. It's also probably terrifying for guys like Max and Checo wondering if it's going to come home every weekend.
The crazy thing with the Red Bull, specifically Max's car, is it's not like it's one recurring issue. It's some random,
it's all over
completely
the place.
Disassociated thing. Like, all of a sudden, the DRS is a show, you know? And before, it's like some cooling leak, or then there's some fluid that leaks in the engine. Then there's some other cosmetic aero issue, you know?
Yeah, so
it's not like something that they can easily fix. Everything's apparently ready to break down on that lemon.
Yeah. We'll see what's next. I mean, we know he'll be quick, though. It doesn't matter. He'll be quick.
Right. Even though it seems like it's a lemon with how often it's in the garage, it still is leading the championship.
But oddly enough, though, not oddly enough, but what's fortunate for Max and that and Red Bull is like they haven't used any extra engine parts really, despite all these issues.
Right, it's been
they're sitting
around the engine exactly.
They're sitting
like you have Fernando Alonso who's already on like his 9th engine, and yeah, Red Bull's kind of just sitting there. They have other minor issues with the car and around the engine, but you're right, it hasn't been like engines blowing.
Yeah. In any case, best of luck to you this weekend, Ken. Max will definitely be quick. It's just a question of reliability as usual, and if he can keep it out of the wall, because Max is actually pretty similar to Charles. There's been plenty of years where Max has been unable to avoid the barriers.
Yeah, he had, that was always the knock on him before this, right? Danny Ricciardo was the one who was the Monaco master at Red Bull, and Max couldn't even seem to stay out of the wall in practice sessions.
Yeah,
right?
Even when he was at Toro Rosso, like he would find the barrier in qualies, in practice, or the race. It's
yeah, and
but
then,
he seemed to have gotten that monkey off his back.
Yeah, that was very, very young Max. It kind of clicked in the past 2-3 seasons.
Still very young Max.
I know, that's the crazy
thing. He's only 24, right?
That I was listening back, air checking our previous episodes, and yeah, when you think of how young Max is, already a world champion, because I didn't realize when you mentioned how old Nick DeVries is. I was like, that's insanity. That he's like almost 30, Nick
DeVries. I also forget that like Alex Albon's 27.
Right. Yeah, Max.
He's 3 years older than Max.
It is crazy. So that's, you know, I know Ken, going back to Ken, you know, he gave us crap talking about after this iteration, how many titles Max would have. And Ken obviously thought he would clean sweep it and be level with Hamilton. But he is young enough where this is how records that seem like they can't fall, right? Hamilton comes in, immediately starts winning races and stacking titles, right?
Right. Max
but
is
then
in the same
Max comes in and he's super young, wins his first race when he gets promoted to Red Bull, and now is starting to get that momentum, you know?
Yeah.
He's
going to approach Hamilton's records, that's for sure.
Yeah, exciting. Excited to watch. Ryan, now we should get into some hashtag Formula Brunch feedback we got for the last race, and also this weekend. Monaco is a fantastic Formula Brunch weekend, right?
Absolutely.
This is where you can really do that classic cigarette, espresso, croissant, you know, that classic French breakfast, the Monégasque breakfast.
Yep.
So Samantha G hit us up, Ryan, from the USA. It was a great spread. This was a picture of the Formula Brunch, hashtag Formula Brunch spread. You had, for Spain, you had a nice chorizo, some fig, patatas bravas, some pepper and eggplant caponata, and jamón. Manchego croquetas. Oh, manchego is
delicious.
A high seed cheese.
Oh, manchego is an underrated cheese, for sure.
I mean, that entire sort of charcuterie spread that Samantha sent is, that's just a beautiful feast for the senses, you know? Different textures, different flavors, sort of very umami, very sharp, you know? I really am digging that spread.
Yeah, Jenna hit us up as well, Moot, from the USA. She's our Formula Brunch queen.
She's the sitting queen, yes.
Yeah, she said, muchas tapas para España, tortilla española, which I don't know what that is, but I got to look it up, paella, pan con tomate, and of course, jamón.
Luis Hamilton.
Yeah, Luis Hamilton.
Which is ham, just the fun way to say Spanish ham.
Yeah, she said, we thought we'd have to go big on hashtag Formula Brunch to make the morning interesting. Luckily, the race was also a treat. Plenty of cava and 1906 cerveza to wash down the Ferrari meltdown. Good to see Merck back in the mix. Hope Lando could get well soon for another Monaco podium.
That's right. She's the
wishful thinking there from Jenna.
Yeah, I mean, It all comes down, as you said, to Saturday. If anyone can shock their way into Q3, right?
Yeah.
Then you're live for points, if not podium, depending on the timing of safety cars, VSCs, and potential wrecks, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's the thing. VSCs and SCs and red flags and stuff are huge in these street courses like this, where it might be tougher to pass, because if you get that lucky break and you get the free pit stop when everyone else wasted a lot of time, you know, that's how you make up big spots, potentially, if you're one of these slower guys without passing on track.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that.
I guess we've dove into the Monaco Grand Prix preview there with my comments.
Yeah, save it for the preview, Moot.
No, we can touch on it.
Good luck to Lando this weekend, Jenna. Best of luck to him. We root for anyone that the listeners are rooting for, unless it's Nikita Mazepin. But we haven't.
Well, he's gone. You keep bringing him up. You keep bringing him back from the dead.
I know, but we haven't had any listeners reach out though who have said like they are a Nikita Mazepin fan. Like, hey, this is so and so from Russia. I'm a diehard Mazepin fan.
The Mazepins. If you're a Nikita Mazepin, Mark, slide into our DMs and let us know out there. Ryan, Sean, is this from Israel? Our emoji flags are very small.
Yes, Sean okay. from Israel. He was our other trackside reporter
race, right?
from Imola.
Yeah, Sean from Israel sent a great picture of the his Spanish Grand Prix hashtag Formula Brunch was streaming the race on a laptop or an iPad or something like that. And the picture was half of it was through the clear glass of a Corona.
Yeah,
so,
which is funny when you think Sean is in Israel watching the Spanish Grand Prix drinking a Mexican beer.
Yeah, for a Spanish Formula Brunch. We love it, though. Any of those picks. I mean, that's the beauty of Formula Brunch.
There's something so funny to me about
you don't have to have, yeah, go
an
ahead.
Israeli enjoying a Corona Extra on a Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a global beer, I guess.
Getting real extra with it on a Sunday.
Find your
that.
Beach in Tel Aviv.
Exactly. So, yeah, thank you to you to y'all for sending in those hashtag Formula Brunch shots. We're looking forward to the Monaco stuff. Monaco's a very accessible Formula Brunch if you want to actually stick with the theme. So get your espressos, your cigarettes, your pain au chocolat.
Yeah,
your
you can go
croissants.
French or Italian. It's
exactly.
pretty easy. Monaco is, you know.
Good seafood, obviously. You're on the water, so you can make any of those plays.
Yep.
So make sure to send us any good shots or descriptions of your hashtag Formula Brunches. And if you story them on DeGram, be sure to tag us in that so we can see it and re-throw it onto our story at Purple Sector Pod on our Instagram.
Follow me on Instagram.
So, Moot, speaking of Instagram, Circle 3 Designs from the USA hit us up, and they said, are we going to get better-looking girls in Monaco or Miami? It's a very good question.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, are they talking about celebs, fans, overall, right?
It's
because there's
subjective, obviously, but
yeah, of course.
This is just the way I feel about it. You go to Miami to get laid. You go to Monaco to try and find a wife.
To get paid.
Yeah, you go to Miami to get laid and paid. You go to Monaco to try and find a wife. The wife material's in Monaco. Miami is where you go to get cheeks. You go to Miami to do the old lay down and move around. You know what I mean?
The lay down and move around?
Yeah.
That's a saying?
Yes, it is now.
I haven't heard that one.
I think I heard it on New Girl. That's where I got it.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, both of these, do we know like the capacity for the actual grandstands? I feel like the majority of the fans and the wife material is going to already be in these apartments and stuff at the big, big parties looking down on the Monaco track, right?
No, I'm just saying like the difference between Miami and Monaco is... Like in Miami, yeah, you might be like flirting with like an influencer, but you might just be shilling like granola or something on Instagram.
Right.
In Monaco, you might be rubbing elbows with like Charles Leclerc's sister and you don't even know it.
Or the guy who stole his watch.
Or some princess.
Yeah,
that's
guy,
what I'm saying.
The guy who stole Charles' watch, you know?
Yeah, your chances are for wife material in Monaco. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, I hope that the guy returns the watch to Charles in Monaco, you know? Or give it to the Crown Prince of Monaco. So on the podium, if Charles wins, he can give him the trophy and
people might not know
back.
What you're referencing. The stolen watch. Charles
yeah, we
Leclerc's.
Talked about it on a previous episode where Charles got his extremely expensive Richard Mille watch.
Well, anyways,
stolen in
the question was better looking girls in Monaco or Miami? I think it's a wash.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, depends on what flavor you're looking for. You know?
If you like big, fake TNA and lips, then Miami is your winner by a margin.
Yeah, Monaco's awesome. Miami is interesting. I have never been to like Miami proper, to be honest. I know you were there in recent years. I've only been to
there.
Like Fort Lauderdale, you know, which it's next to, but
yeah, there's
not
a lot of
Miami.
A lot of hot retirees down there in Fort Lauderdale.
Exactly. Ryan, S.A. Bear 3.
Yeah,
from
Sarah Bear.
Australia, mate. Sarah Bear.
A lot of listeners are having a crisis over the Daniel Ricciardo dilemma.
Yeah, of course. Message us. Everyone will miss Dan if he retires. but there's awesome Aussie talent coming through the ranks with PS3 and Jack Dune. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The Aussies have sneakily had talent, and not just talent in Formula One that in recent years that's just there taking up a seat, but they're in the good teams and or competitive, right? You had Mark Webber before Danny Ric, and then obviously Piastri and Doohan coming up the pipe.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like F1 for the last 20 plus years has had this, there needs to be at least one Aussie on the grid, right? It was Mark Webber for a while, then the torch got passed to Daniel Ricciardo. Now Ricciardo's future is looking hazy. You know, if McLaren gets rid of him, will anybody pick him up? I think it's unlikely just because he's going to be so expensive.
Right.
And
he's
it's
not
going to
race. He's not going to race on the cheap.
Right. So, but again, Oscar Piastri, he's right there. He's waiting for someone to scoop him up. He's supposed to be a generational talent. I think he'll be in F1 next year. For who? Who knows? Maybe it might be a like-for-like swap of Aussies at McLaren. Wouldn't that be wild?
Yeah, it would be. You get the discounted younger Danny Ric.
So, yeah, I think our Aussie quota will be filled regardless of if, you know, Ricciardo gets the axe or not.
Yeah, it will be a sad day when Danny Ric gets the boot, and I have the feeling it's coming after this year. And don't think he will find a home at another squad. It seems very unlikely.
Not an F1. I hope he goes
straight to NASCAR
exactly.
or Truck Series. Yeah.
He would fucking thrive in NASCAR or Indy. Look at the love that Grosjean's getting in IndyCar. If Ricciardo went to IndyCar, oh my God, dude.
Oh, it would be massive in the American market. He'd dig it for sure. Yeah, I mean, Roman, wasn't he voted like favorite driver of the fans before the second season of his?
Yeah, people love him.
Yeah.
Except for Graham Rahal.
That does it for the mail. Box, 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 box. Sorry.
Box, 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 box.
Right, guys, it's time to head to the news desk.
Oh, yeah.
Pat, you want to take this first story here?
Yeah, hit me.
This is a fun one.
Sebastian Vettel chases after thieves on his scooter in Barcelona the Monday after the race.
Barcelona. Yeah, kind of a clown move by Seb Vettel, though, at his hotel. Once you get into the particulars.
Oh, several clown moves on his part. So he left his window down in his car at the hotel, and of course, thieves being the opportunistic people they are, stole his bag through the window.
So he not only left his bag in the car, he also left the windows down and just parked it at his hotel.
You know what? I smell insurance fraud here.
Yeah, this
it almost sounds like Seb wanted to be robbed.
Now that you start reading the story, it all seems too convenient, right?
Yeah, so listen to this. This is hilarious. He tracked his AirPods, which were in the bag, to a store in Barcelona, but the thieves had ditched the AirPods in the store and still had the bag. So he hopped on a scooter. By the way, this is like also dangerous on Seb's part. He's on a scooter with his phone, presumably, using the Find My AirPods app. And he's looking at his phone while he's flying on a scooter. What is this guy doing?
Seb is just a madman these days.
So it gets worse, Moot. I did some digging. Listen to this quote. Sebastian Vettel said, unfortunately, there was no money in there. There was bandages in there for the knee, whatever that means. And whoever picked the backpack, it wasn't a great deal. I really liked the backpack, though. So this guy was dumb enough to chase down the thieves himself. There was nothing of value outside of his AirPods.
Who cares about the AirPods and your knee bandages? Like, obviously, he just seems like this kind of guy. He must be so bored with, you know, the Aston Martin's recent performance that this is the only time he gets an adrenaline rush that he can track his AirPods and try and be a superhero and go and make a citizen's arrest on these Barcelonian thieves.
Yeah, he's never felt faster this season than in this high-speed electric scooter chase tracking down his AirPods.
Yeah, I mean, he's been training for this season. Remember when he got that penalty? Which race was that where he was on the track going around in the...
Australia.
In Australia, yeah, where his car went out and he just grabbed the scooter and hopped on the track after the session with it.
Yeah, so let's just break this down again. He left his car window down. Somebody stole his bag. He knew there wasn't anything valuable in it outside of AirPods, but for a guy like him, that's chump change. Gets on his scooter. He's flying through Barcelona on a scooter with his phone tracking his AirPods.
What was he going to do if they were there with his AirPods?
That's why I'm saying he's an idiot. This could be. He's
there on a scooter with like probably with his Formula One helmet on, dude, racing through. And what, he's going to knock on the door of the flop house where these thieves are?
What if it was a baited trap? This guy's worth over $100 million. What if they were just waiting for him there? Like they literally hung the AirPods on the back side of the door, waiting for him to show up so they could rob his watch or whatever.
They put it like in every old adventure movie. They just put the AirPods in the middle of like a mesh net. And so he grabs the AirPods and gets entrapped and snared in like
a It's just all really trap. Dumb. Yeah. I've always thought Seb's a pretty smart guy, but this whole episode makes me think he might have a dumb gene in him.
I think I'm starting to think more along what you were saying.
He's so bored.
Yeah, he's either so bored or wants to sort of white knight something, or it was a scam, like you said, you know?
Yeah, maybe it is insurance fraud.
It was extremely hot in Barcelona, so I could see if he's renting a black car, you know, if they gave him a black Aston Martin, got to crack the windows at least, you know, in that kind of heat.
I think you're being too generous. I think it was a very stupid episode for him.
Some more news here. Speaking on, you know, we were talking earlier, Ryan, in the mailbox box about Danny Rick and hoping that he might find his way to one of the fun American series, NASCAR, IndyCar, Truck Series, whatever it might be. Word has come out. It is confirmed Kimi Raikkonen will be doing a NASCAR race at Watkins Glen this August. Road course, of course.
Exciting stuff.
He's racing with Team Trackhouse, which is our boy Pitbull's team.
Yeah, Pitbull.
Mr. Worldwide got the Iceman.
Yeah, Pitbull had his sights set on the Iceman, which is wild.
Yeah, it's going to be very cool. I mean, that's going to be must-watch stuff. Kimi Raikkonen, you know the media is going to be all over him during that Watkins Glen weekend.
Which he's going to hate.
We can't wait. Oh, yeah. But it'll be sort of the first exposure of him, I think, to a lot of certainly NASCAR fans and even Formula One fans, because he, like you said, he doesn't talk much. He's never really in Drive to Survive.
Right.
And he just retired from Formula One. So he hasn't really given much to the new crop of Formula One fans.
Well, he's going to be in a cup car at Watkins Glen, so that'll fill the void.
Yeah, very exciting. There's a lot of
Stingman
thievery and tomfoolery in this news broadcast.
Yes, this is certainly one of the wildest weeks in F1 or motorsport news, generally speaking. So let's just keep it weird here. Bernie Eccleston, former owner of Formula One, was arrested on the airport runway in Brazil prior to boarding his private jet for carrying a firearm in his luggage. Now, this guy's a multi-billionaire. Why does he feel the need to be strapped personally?
Well, why is he not flying private?
He is.
Okay. I thought you could do whatever the hell you wanted. Like, you just walk onto your PJ.
No, dude.
You know? And there's any intense security.
He does fly private. Like I said, he was arrested on the runway in Brazil for carrying a firearm in his luggage. So
How did he get it there then? Because he doesn't live in Brazil. So he obviously flew one
I
way
think
with
he does
it.
Live in Brazil part-time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I saw this story, the first couple articles I read didn't mention what kind of gun it was. I just assumed Bernie Eccleston's an extremely small man. It's got to be like a little prostitute pea shooter that you could fit in your pocket.
Yeah.
Classic prostitute gun.
Right. He straps it to his garter.
Yeah.
On his thigh.
So our presumptions were confirmed, Moot. It's an LWC Camp 32. Google that gun if you've never seen it. It is right up Bernie's alley. You can fit it in your pocket. You can strap it to your ankle.
Not a lot of stopping power. It basically shoots probably like a little BB, you know?
Nah, it's a fine gun.
No, I'm joking.
32 is great.
I'm just playing up now the whole Bernie is a miniature man with miniature BB guns.
But yeah, it's exactly what you would expect for a pocket-sized man like him. He stated he was unaware that it was in his luggage. So that's the best. That's always the best excuse in this situation, right? Plead ignorance, denial.
Or I guess when you buy these little guns, you just buy so many and then just sprinkle them in all your bags. You know, it's like buying Tic Tacs and just shaking them out of the container. You know,
yeah.
He just buys miniature guns and puts them all over the place. It sounds like.
Yeah, they should have checked the rest of his plan. There was probably another gun under the Kleenexes and a couple under the bathroom sink.
Yeah, I mean, how many does this guy not even realize he are all these different places, you know?
Yeah. Anyways, what's typical for someone of his wealth is it was a minor speed bump. He paid bail and was quickly able to depart to Switzerland. So,
well, yeah, I mean,
just a bump in the road.
I mean, it's definitely a different thing when you're flying. I've never done it, but I imagine when you're flying private, if there's some issue like this, it's not the same like a TSA where they're going to, you know, you're going to face a lot more issues. I'm pretty sure. And especially, like you said, a guy of his wealth who I'm sure all the people involved, except for the couple people screening
right.
in the private, you know, private part of the airport there, are on his payroll. I'm sure everyone in Brazil is on his payroll if he's living there, to be honest.
Oh, I'm sure. But it's just so funny to hear a guy like him.
Yeah,
to pay bail. I would love to know the amount. It wasn't in the article.
Maybe Bernie was flying it over to Barcelona to give it to Seb. Seb said, "Bernie, get here quick.
Yeah,
I know where the thieves are. I need your help.
Bring your
32."
Yeah, the AirPods are in a pawn shop. Bring your piece.
I need my AirPods back. Fly across privately for, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, and bring your stupid little gun. All right, Rye Guy, some good Disney news here.
Yeah, crazy news cycle right here, Moot.
Lewis Hamilton was in Cars, right? He voiced one of the little roles in Cars. And wasn't Michael Schumacher one of them or something?
And Lewis Hamilton both had voiceover cameos in Disney's Cars.
Yes, and now the two Ferrari drivers are following them in this endeavor. You have Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, who will have voice cameos in Disney's upcoming film, Lightyear, Buzz Lightyear origin story.
Yeah.
I'm actually very stoked. I don't know if you watch the trailers. It looks pretty awesome. Yeah.
Toy Story is a pretty phenomenal franchise.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's going to be one character. We don't know any more details at this point, but Charles is going to be the Italian version of the character, and Carlos is the Spanish version.
Yeah.
So it's going to be some split personality or double-sided character, probably some alien. Who knows what it's going to be?
No, it's just going to be the Italian release.
Oh,
Charles will be doing.
Oh, got you.
And the Spanish release. Yes. That's
so wait, we're not. They're not actually going to be in the version we watch.
Not in our version.
That's
no.
Terrible news. Then I don't know how this.
Don't worry.
The news,
you're not going to have to go far. It's going to be all over social media. You'll hear both versions.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's sad. How come Charles isn't doing the French version as well?
Who knows.
They didn't want to pay him double.
Maybe Ocon is doing the French version.
Yeah. Right. Pierre Gasly is doing the French version.
All right. Sting me, Moot. This is kind of on
this is our favorite story of the year. It's kind of become our tradition now.
So, as most of you probably know, Memorial Day weekend is kind of like the Super Bowl weekend of motorsport. You have the Monaco Grand Prix and the Indy 500.
It's actually awesome, yeah.
Yeah. So, one of the things we always look forward to, Moot and I, is the week before the Indianapolis 500 like committee releases and the milk commission of Indiana releases
#GotMilk.
Yeah, they release the milk preferences of all the drivers. Every year they ask all the drivers, hey, what do you want for the milk if you do win the Indy 500? Now, the options are limited, which we don't enjoy. All they're willing to give them is whole milk, 2%, or skim. So this was the breakdown this year. 25 drivers of the 32 surveyed want whole, 6 of them want 2%, 0 want skim,
yep.
Which we like to see.
Which is proper, yeah.
Skim
that's
is
the
disgusting.
Correct answer. Yeah.
Skim is just white water, cold white water.
Yep.
And one was no preference, which was Juan Pablo Montoya.
That means, yeah, he just doesn't care about.
He said, I don't care. He wanted chocolate milk, I believe. So
wait, he said no preference, but then in an interview said chocolate milk, I guess.
You have to pick any of the three or say no preference, but you can leave a comment.
Oh, so he said no preference.
Just let me finish.
Yeah, I'm
you're walking all over me.
This is a big story every year for us.
So most of the drivers say stuff like, please make sure it's ice cold. Majority of the drivers say, whatever it is, make sure it's ice cold.
Which is true, because oftentimes, I mean, Memorial Day weekend marks the beginning of summer in the States.
Yes.
And oftentimes, it's extremely hot at the Indy 500. You know?
Yes. So Elio Castroneves said he wanted pink strawberry milk. He actually wrote, please add pink powder.
Right. It has to be. I like that he wants the color too.
I liked strawberry milk when I was a little kid. I think it's the concept of it is disgusting to me as an adult.
Oh, I definitely liked it when I was a kid as well. It's
hot,
it's just
pink
an extreme
liquid?
Sweet. It's a little too sweet.
It's very sweet, and it looks grotesque.
But the strawberry Nesquik back in the day, are you kidding me? Damn, that was good.
Okay, well, a bunch of other drivers wrote that they want chocolate milk or buttermilk. Shout out to the buttermilk OGs.
Yeah, I know there was a few guys with buttermilk last year, I recall from when we talked about this. When you filled out that card, what would you select? Whole, 2% skim, no preference, and what would you write in the comment card?
I would write, so I would get a lot of flack for this, but I would write in oat milk. Oat milk is by far the best milk alternative. Okay. Almond milk's pretty gross. It's got that weird almond aftertaste. Not a fan. Oat milk is by far, if you're going to do a replacement milk, oat milk gets you the closest to tasting like real milk.
So you would write in no preference and then oat milk, please, in the comment section? Like, how would you go about doing it so that you would get it?
I would write, oat milk, please. Please flame me for this answer, because I know people would just grab their pitchforks if you wrote that.
Oh, if you were racing in the Indy 500, whomever was guest hosting here with me, we would be roasting you when the story came up.
Yeah,
apparently, Rye Guy is in the Indy 500 this weekend, and he requested oat milk.
Yeah, but you got to understand, I love actual milk. Like, whole milk is one of my favorites. But I just want to shake things up and put some pressure on the Milk Association there in Indiana.
Oh, they're not going to be happy about that, because I'm sure they're pushing the hashtag got milk, not the milk substitutes, right?
Did you know that oat milk is the fastest growing sector of the milk alternatives? It's pummeling all the milk
purple
lately.
Sector. It's the purple sector of milk
exactly.
products.
Exactly.
This turned into an oat milk promo. I would go heavy cream, Rye Guy.
What do you mean heavy
cream? That would be
full cream?
Heavy cream.
Oh,
that's
my God.
I love some heavy cream.
I'm pretty sure that would curdle.
Remember when I would write in the comment, you know, please make sure it's ice cold, just like everybody else.
You can't have ice cold cream. It doesn't pour out.
It would be sludge.
It's like viscous oil.
I would love it. I would just take a big swig and then dump it on my head. And then stink like crazy on that podium.
It'd be the grossest podium celebration ever.
Or they could just give me a bunch of ice cold, the mini creamers from like diners. Remember when we were kids and like...
Why do you need to desecrate the Indy 500 podium with this nonsense?
Because I like bits. That would be my bit. So there you have it. That's our milk stuff. If you guys have any thoughts, hit us up. Let us know what your milk selection and... comment would have been on that card for the Indy 500.
If they're only going to give me the three options, I'm going whole milk every time. Whole milk's delicious.
If I can't deviate from the whole milk 2% skim, I would actually punch skim out of it. Like skim, like you said, is the worst. Whole milk is the play.
Yep. So this is an interesting narrative here. Christian Horner is concerned that some teams will miss races if the budget cap isn't raised. We're
classic Horner stuff here.
We're what are we, six races into the season?
Right. We're basically
a quarter of the way through.
A quarter.
So it's hilarious to me that Horner's already calling for the budget cap to be raised. We're six races in. Is it six or five?
Six. Last race was the sixth.
Okay. So anyways, that's pretty fascinating.
Posturing that he does every season, right? It's always complaining about penalties for engines, that they need more engines, or that they're not going to finish. But yeah, that's what the cost cap is, right?
Well, one of the issues is inflation, right? And because freight is part of the cost cap, that's creating a lot of issues.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Freight rates are just ballooning because of inflation.
Freight rates.
So... yeah, that's something that they're all contending with. But Otmar Szafnauer of Alpine.
Correct. He's been everywhere.
Otmar had a hilarious quote in response to Christian Horner bitching about the budget cap already. He said, "That would be really good. That would move us up in the championship. I welcome that. Should we plan for that? Or was he just being facetious?"
Good to hear from Otmar. He's been very, very quiet. I think one of the races earlier this year, maybe he was on the broadcast for a little bit or one of the practice sessions, but I always like Otmar. He's a very sharp-tongued, witty guy.
Yeah, he is. So let's just chew on this for a second. Do you think Christian Horner's right? Do you think that any teams will actually miss races?
Of course not.
Yeah, I don't think F1 would let that happen. They would step in and be like, all right, we'll exclude freight rates from the budget cap.
They're learning still on how this works, and you can't predict inflationary economies and changes in commodity pricing, right?
Like Formula One could not have picked a worse time to experiment with a budget cap than right now.
Well,
global inflation is wild.
Not just that, it's also all the timing of the transition to this budget cap and new era, because originally it was supposed to be right when COVID hit and all that, and then they kicked it down the road slightly, and then we had all that stuff going on. They kept having to kick it down the road, and then now we have a land war in Europe and inflation.
Yeah, you know, fucking like, land war.
And now that's when we're kicking off the new generation of car and the cost cap.
Yeah, I just
they're going to be flexible. I know they will be.
It's right? Just going to be the whole budget cap situation. It's just going to be a constantly moving goalpost.
But you know that the big spenders from the past seasons are always going to be in the media saying we should bump this up. Teams, they're not going to say aren't going to be able to stay under it. They're going to try and make it seem like everyone is struggling the same way with this cost ceiling and they need to bump it up.
Well, I just think this whole thing is going to get really ugly, because all these teams that were careful about their spending, like if we get halfway through the season and they're like, all right, you guys can spend whatever, all the teams that were being careful are going to be fucking pissed.
Yeah, it's, if you set a rule and people meet it, and then you just move the goalposts. Like we saw before this season, Alfa Romeo was the only team that was like at the minimum weight.
Yes.
Right?
And the other teams got it raised.
The other teams were really fat, and so the teams just raised the minimum weight, so Alfa had to add weight.
Yeah, nobody ever said that, you know, the way F1 operates is fair to all the teams. It's typically only fair to the bigger teams.
For sure.
And the
most fair to Ferrari.
And another thing to consider is this warfare that's brewing already, when we have Ferrari heading into the Spanish Grand Prix saying, you guys need to look at the books of these teams. We already suspect that there's some tomfoolery.
Yeah, like I've heard a lot of comments to that effect, right? Of how we are wondering how are teams going to develop or how are they going to spread out. And now you have a quarter of the way into the season, teams bringing whole new spec cars and like tons of
Aston
new
Martin,
components.
Yeah, exactly. And for, I mean, whether they're right or wrong, or if they're out of line in saying this, I did find that interesting that Ferrari heading into Spain was like, we're going to give a document to the FIA about where we think every team should be financially right now. They're already saying,
what a bunch of nosy looky-loos.
It's typical Ferrari, though.
Yeah.
You know, they have that clout. Anyways, I think it's hilarious that Ferrari is already alleging aggressive accounting by the other teams.
Yeah, all the accountants who are also Formula One fans are loving this season thus far, then. We're already talking budget caps.
Six races
the way
in. Six races in.
This is a huge story for us, Ragai, and a lot of our listeners, I imagine, who are fans of this kind of stuff. Valtteri Bottas has gifted Lewis Hamilton with, he says it was the final print of his butt shot in the Colorado Stream. He framed it up, had Hamilton come onto a yacht in Monaco, it looked like to me, in the video, and gifted to Hamilton the framed butt shot.
Hi, I'm Valtteri Bottas.
And he said that, and then he handed it to Hamilton. My question, Ragai, what will Hamilton do with this? He joked in an interview when someone asked about, have you seen the butt picture from Valtteri? He said, oh, no, I haven't seen it. Oh, it's for charity? Then I definitely want to buy one, you know?
Right.
But he said he hadn't seen it, and then Valtteri gifts him one. Now that he actually has it, what is he going to do? Will it be hung up in like his bathroom? We know he's very particular, Lewis Hamilton is, about bathroom etiquette and stuff. Will
yes.
he hang it in his bathroom, one of his many bathrooms at his English manor?
I hope so. But first of all, Lewis Hamilton is a fucking liar. He's on social media all the time. There's no way he didn't see
that someone didn't say, look at this butt picture that Valtteri just posted in Colorado Street.
Exactly. There's no fucking way he didn't know about it. Second of all, I hope that he puts it somewhere so that when Lewis is bare-assed on the toilet, he is staring right at Valtteri's bare-ass butt-ass.
Yes. Oh, I agree. I think Hamilton also should take a picture of, what's his dog's name?
Roscoe.
Should take a picture of Roscoe's butt and send that to Valtteri, you know?
You should lay Roscoe down in the stream and have his ass in the air.
That might traumatize Valtteri, though. Remember we always used to joke that Hamilton would have Roscoe crap in front of Bottas's trailer?
It wasn't a joke. Roscoe did do that.
Yeah, but that it was on purpose, basically, that Hamilton trained him to shit in front of Bottas's trailer to play mind games with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, he could just give him a picture of Roscoe's poop. Yeah. That'll work too.
In any case, Bottas is just firing on all cylinders off the track. He's the king of the banter this season, and we love it.
Yeah, fun Bottas. Taking pictures of his butt cheeks and selling prints of it. Time now, Ryan. We knee him over to our hashtag Monaco GP preview.
All right, so let's get through all the nitty-gritty here. I'll start with the weather. Here's your forecast. Friday, which is today, high of 70s, somewhere in the 70s, mid-70s. Saturday, I'm a terrible weather reporter. Saturday, same shit.
Somewhere in the 70s. High of 70s, somewhere in the 70s.
Mid-70s, high 70s. Same with Saturday. Friday has a slight chance of rain, but I don't think you're going to see any.
The big news is Sunday's potential forecast, though.
Cooler. We're going to be in the 60s. There's a 70. As of right now, there's a 60 to 70% chance of rain at the race start. Pray to the F1 gods and the rain gods that that happens. That would be electric, dude.
Electric. It would definitely make it interesting. If they're starting wet and it transitions to dry, yes, that's always super fun. It's always fun to see which guy guinea pigs himself and goes on to the full slicks.
Yes.
When it's drying up.
So I want to read this quote from Nelson Piquet Sr. That is the father of Max Verstappen's boo. He has a famous quote regarding Monaco. He says, "It's like riding a bicycle around your living room." It's a great quote and very apropos.
It's true. I mean, it's very tight. Walls everywhere. Nowhere to stay safe.
Yeah.
Like if you're on a bike in your living room, you're always going to be knocking something over or slamming into a table or a piece of furniture.
Yeah. And just imagine if it's raining in your living room, what that could be like.
Yeah.
Because that's what it could be like on Sunday. Moot, this is a sad note here. Unless things turn around.
I can picture, just going back to the bicycle in the living room quote, though, I could see Seb riding his bike around his living room. I mean, yeah, the guy's only riding scooters now. He's going as green as he can. He's probably got a big enough living room that he actually rides a bike around his living room and his house, I would imagine.
Maybe that's why he went after his backpack. It was a sustainability thing. He didn't want to buy a second backpack.
Yeah, he doesn't want to waste AirPods.
So, Moot, the Purple Sector streak of listeners at races might end this weekend. It's under threat.
Yeah, if anyone listening is going to the Monaco Grand Prix, or when you hear this, because you'll already be traveling and enjoying the race weekend, hit us up at Purple Sector Pod or 9048 Purple. Let us know if you were at the Monaco Grand Prix and or share any good media, images, etc.
Yeah, so we're on a 4-race streak right now. We had Josh in Australia. In Imola, we had Dara from Ireland and Sean from Israel. In Miami, we had Brian, Kurt, and Ryan.
Yeah.
And in Spain, we had Tom.
Yes.
So if you're at Monaco this weekend, just give us a shout. We would love that. Keep the streak alive.
Yeah. We need someone in Monaco, so let us know whomever our fan on the ground is.
All right, man, let's dissect
some of the drivers guys. Some of the guys with the potential to qualify well and or podium and or win this race. The two Mercedes drivers both have, you know, not ideal records here. Obviously, the funny thing is when you say, oh, this is a really bad track for Hamilton. In Monaco, he has 3 wins, 2 pole positions, but it's from 14 races. So percentage-wise, compared to all the other tracks where he's very dominant, it's crazy that you say, oh, he's not very good here.
Well, I mean, look.
Everything's relative.
Lewis Hamilton, we're talking about a guy who has 7 titles, and he's been in 9 cars that were title contending. Like, he could have won 9 titles with 9 cars. Now, once you establish that, he's only been able to get pole position twice in Monaco. He's been in 9 title potential cars.
Yeah.
This is a weak track for him. I mean, I'm sorry. There's no other way to cut it. He is not comfortable in Monaco.
George Russell has had some discomfort, especially during his F2 time. Retired twice in F2 in races at Monaco. I actually think the Williams numbers aren't bad.
No,
finished
I disagree.
15th and 14th with Williams at Monaco.
I disagree because he was always a quali specialist with Williams, so you would expect him to like be sniffing P11, P12.
Yeah, it all depends on how many retirements were in front of him as well.
To be fair, the Williams cars were terrible in the years that he was.
I mean, you're saying that he should be knocking on the door of points in the worst car in the grid.
In qualifying, yes. When he was at Williams, the only times we saw him get close to points was because he established that threat with qualies.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's a massive unknown here, George Russell. He could have a great weekend.
Yeah,
he could have an awful weekend.
Aside from Bahrain when he was stepping in for Lewis Hamilton a couple years ago. This is the first time he's in Monaco in a better car.
All we know is that George did have a great car in Formula 2, and he retired both times he raced in Monaco.
Yeah. I don't know the circumstances, though, if it was wrecks or car issues.
Let's get into the Charles Leclerc curse of Monaco, all right?
Yeah, he is Monegasque himself, so you know he's always going to be pressing, and he's only going to press harder after this run of performances.
Yes. So he's raced in Monaco 6 times, which is a lot considering how young he is, right? He has never finished a race in Monaco. So in 2017 in Formula 2, he was leading the feature race, made a pit stop. The wheel wasn't secured correctly. He eventually had to retire because the vibrations damaged the wheel hub. Then the next day in the sprint race, he crashed in Roscas. 2018.
I like the way that the Brits tend to pronounce Roscas.
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 In 2018, he had brake failure while trying to overtake Brendan Hartley after the tunnel. He wrecked both of them. It was a pretty interesting wreck, actually. 2019, Ferrari botched his qualifying. He started P16, and then he wrecked into Nico Hülkenberg, trying to make up places. 2021, because we didn't race in Monaco during 2020 because of COVID, he got the kiss of death from the barrier in the swimming pool chicane while on pole position. He was on pole.
Yeah, this was in qualifying in Q3, final flying attempt.
In qualies, he put it into the wall. He took too much curb into the barrier and then hit the wall. He didn't start the race because on the installation lap, Ferrari was like, your gearbox is done. So he's just, and then this year, which we've already talked about, he wrecked Niki Lauda's Ferrari at the historic Monaco Grand Prix.
Was that on the first time around the track in the car, or had he turned multiple laps at that point?
He had been lapping, I'm pretty sure. But, I mean, the guy just can't stay away from incidents in Monaco.
Yeah. I mean,
it is a curse. This isn't like when we were saying years ago that Max Verstappen has an Italian curse. He's overcome that now.
No, and this is even tougher because it's, you know, he is Monegasque.
Yeah, you'll never, ever.
Yeah, it's a 5-race sample size, or at least 5 times on track sample size, where it's just drastic endings, you know, dramatic endings 6 to all the races. Yeah, yeah, so, counting the sprint, yeah.
Yeah, and you make a really good point, Moot. The fact that he's Monegasque and he's really good, he could be a future world champ. You'll never hear more stuff spoken about a guy's home race than Charles at the Monaco Grand Prix. Like, every time he's on track, they're like, as he goes by the swimming pool where he learned how to swim, and and as he's on the streets he grew up on, you know, like,
as he goes down the alley where he was robbed of his priceless watch.
Yeah, exactly. You'll never hear more said about a driver's home Grand Prix than Charles in Monaco. So it is the most pressure, I think, of any driver at the home race.
I think this, obviously year by year, it will tend to be more pressure. There's an insane amount of pressure, I think, for him this season, because last year he wasn't expected to get pole position. He puts it on pole, then doesn't even start the race. This year, everyone is expecting him to put on pole position, which would give him a huge opportunity to win the race, right? So everyone's expecting the Monegasque man, Charles Leclerc, to get pole position and win the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So, a lot of pressure on him, and excited to see how he does.
Yeah.
Let's talk about his, what's up?
I was just going to say, conversely, his teammate, Carlos Sainz, is Mr. Consistent in Monaco. So, as everyone knows, or most people know, Carlos Sainz has been a journeyman in F1. He's raced for 4 teams, okay? He has finished in the points in all 6 races in Monaco across 4 teams.
Yeah, that's actually impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, considering at least
because all these teams weren't front runners.
No, not at all, including Toro Rosso. He finished in the points twice with Toro Rosso, which is what AlphaTauri is now. And that team, the years that he was racing for them, wasn't that great.
Yeah, and last year, this is kind of, I feel like, where his season started to really ramp up at Ferrari, where he just started knocking in high finishes while Charles was feast or famine, because Charles didn't start even the race last year in Monaco. Carlos found himself second step on the podium.
Yes.
And there was a lot of chatter about how excited he was for the party with the royal family after, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Who wouldn't be?
Oh, for sure. Right, guy, another guy getting a lot of smoke is our butt man, Valtteri Buttass. So a lot of talk about him potentially having a very good result, if not a chance at the podium this weekend because of the Alfa Romeo chassis being very lightweight, shorter wheelbase, etc. Throughout the season, Ryan, whenever they show those metrics, it performs very well in slow corners. And we've seen Valtteri this season constantly making his way into Q3, constantly being in the points, if not running in top four, top five late in races before he makes way for the Mercedes, it feels like.
Right.
But Valtteri is a guy we've got our eyes on. But as we record this, first practice in the books, and he didn't even get a lap turned. He had to just go in with an issue.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, when you consider, like last season, Valtteri, if not for his wheel nut being machined onto his car during the pit stop in last year's Monaco Grand Prix,
that's right.
Valtteri had a shot to potentially win that race if they had a good undercut, overcut, whatever. So, meanwhile, Lewis was nowhere. Like, Lewis couldn't get anything going in Monaco last year. So, Valtteri, he's comfortable here. He's an absolute demon when it comes to qualifying. He could really do something this weekend.
Yes, he can.
If they can get that car sorted. It sounds like it's off to a bad start.
I'm excited to see who the shock top teners point scorers are going to be at this race, the ones who come out of nowhere or come, you know,
well,
with cars we don't expect.
Let's move on to our bold predictions.
That was my transition, exactly. Put it on a platter for you. You want to? You should go first here. You like stings for yours, right?
Yep.
Rye Guys bold predictions for the Monaco Grand Prix.
Give me the crafty sound bit first,
yeah,
if you have it.
Oh, of course I do.
We've missed you with these bold predictions. I like that.
I
was going to do it at the end, yeah, because he's obviously commenting on him.
Crofty's so horny in that clip.
I know. We'll play it after our bold predictions again.
All right, so this is bold, Moot. You gave me a lot of shit for my predictions last race about them not being bold enough.
Yes.
Is this bold enough for you? Valtteri Bottas will podium.
Hi, I'm Valtteri Bottas.
Yes, and that also comes with an extra bonus, right?
Yeah.
If he gets on the podium this year.
I don't actually think this is going to happen. It's more wishful thinking. I think he could do it.
Well, it's bold. That's the idea.
I think he could do it. I don't think it will happen, but it's wishful thinking. I want Bottas to podium in Monaco because if he does, Will Buxton will have to get a Valtteri Bottas tattoo.
Yeah, and I think we were talking about it on a previous episode, right, that it better be on his ass. It better be the image of Valtteri in the Colorado Stream,
yes,
cheeks up, and that be tattooed on Buxton's butt cheeks.
Yeah, and he absolutely should because Buxton already has a bunch of tattoos. Like, there shouldn't be any shame.
Yeah, he's getting inked up.
There shouldn't be any shame for him to put a little butt ass on his butt ass.
True.
Sting me. All right, I also think this is fairly bold. Both Mercedes drivers will finish outside of the top four.
I would say it's bold if you said outside the top five because George has top fives every race, so that makes it fairly bold. And you're lumping both drivers in, right? And the car looks much more racy and pacey last weekend.
But I don't have high expectations for them in Monaco simply because...
Beef it up then. Let's say outside the top five because that means an end to George Russell's streak.
I'm not going to let you bully my fucking predictions.
Yeah, these are the bully predictions.
The bold prediction is both Mercedes drivers will finish outside of the top four. I believe that because I think that the pace they found in Spain translating to pace in Monaco is extremely overhyped. Extremely. When I also consider that Lewis Hamilton has been in some of the best F1 cars in history throughout most of his career, and he only has two pole positions in Monaco, I'm sorry, but I think he's going to have a tough weekend.
Yeah, I mean, he had a brutal Monaco race last season.
These cars are very uncomfortable to drive for all these drivers. They're heavy, they're sluggish, and when they're in cornering, you know, these guys complain about them all the time. They're hard under braking. I think Monaco is going to be a handful for most drivers this weekend, Hamilton especially.
Yeah, porpoising through the tunnel.
All right, sting me. Also, I meant to say that George Russell, just massive unknown. Who knows what he's going to be capable of doing in Monaco. He could surprise us, but I think he also finishes outside the top four. Sting me again, sorry. All right, this is bold, considering his track record. Charles Leclerc will break the Monaco curse this weekend with a victory on Sunday. I just think that
we've missed you with these bold predictions. I like that.
I like that. I just think that the Ferrari chassis is so good, and Ferrari is allegedly putting all that downforce back on the car that they had in the beginning of the season. And I just think this car is going to be on rails. I think Charles is going to be impressive.
Sorry, I was teasing into it because I also had that as a bold prediction, Leclerc winning. But
yeah, I think he's going
to
be on Reigns.
Now I have to embolden it even more, and I say Leclerc gets pole position.
Grand slam.
Wins the race, fastest lap. Oh, yeah.
Leads every lap?
Nah. I mean, it's likely. That would be even bolder, but I don't care as much about that. I just like the hardware of quali for the baby tire, winning the race for the trophy, and fastest lap for... Do they get a physical item for fastest lap?
Yeah, it's...
I thought they got some weird trophy or something, right?
It's a DHL thing, right?
DHL fastest lap. So maybe DHL just sends you a package.
You get a shitty old cardboard box if you...
yeah.
DHL cardboard box.
So I'm going to say that triple header for Leclerc as well. Embolden the prediction even more.
Sting yourself, dude.
Yeah, I did for that one. I mean, I don't like this thing as much. I'm saying Seb Vettel top 10.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, we saw he had a great performance in Monaco last season in the Aston Martin. I'm curious to see if they come out with the Red Bull knockoff or they go back to the previous Aston Martin that actually scored points because they struggled like crazy in that Red Bull version of the Aston, right?
Right. I really like that prediction. Strong choice.
And this one I'll go bold with. Checo Perez will outscore Max Verstappen this weekend.
I kind of like that too, simply because Perez has to be full of confidence right now. In his mind, he could have won the last race in Spain if not for the team orders. And this is kind of breaking news, Moot. He said today he had a discussion with the team. Everything's sorted. He's comfortable with his ability to win, he said. So I interpret that as they sat Checo down and lied to his face and told him that he's allowed to beat Max.
Yeah. He also has, a very... teaser alert for helmet on helmets. I think a very cool helmet for Monaco. Checo Perez does.
Yeah. I don't think he will outscore Verstappen, but we'll see. I like the prediction.
We've missed you with these bold predictions. I like that.
Yeah, so there you go, Raga. Those are our boldies.
Now, of course, if it's raining come the race start on Sunday, you could throw all these bold predictions out the window.
But I mean, that's the thing. We have to make them beforehand, regardless of how the weather is. But sometimes our predictions would be helped by, you know, whatever the weather might or might not be. So
true.
You just have to wait and see. We're making them blind, and then we'll see what happens. Just fun stuff here, you know?
If I had my druthers, I'd prefer rain on Saturday. I would like a messy quali.
Yeah.
Because then you get a crazy...
the clean race and a sloppy quali to get someone starting out of order because that makes a bigger difference, right?
We'll take both. If it rains on Sunday during the race...
Oh, we'll always take rain.
You're going to see a lot of wrecks and stuff.
It doesn't matter when it comes. Obviously, you don't want rain to the level of Spa last year where they don't even do any real laps for that race for half points. But rain in practice sessions is also great because they get less data and it tends to lead to a less predictable race, right?
Right.
So, yeah, keep your eyelids open so you can see the fresh lids, the specialty helmets in this race. Raga, I'm going to have to put together a compilation of my favorite helmets from the Miami Grand Prix specialty helmets and this Monaco Grand Prix, because those are two of the biggest, you know, one-off helmet unveilings during the season. And I think it might be a little much if I go through all almost 15 or more helmets from just Miami alone, specialty helmets, you know?
Yeah, once you combine Monaco and Miami, it's going to be like 35 helmet designs.
So yeah, I'll pick some faves and we'll break down the best and the worst from these two iconic races now. I'm making Miami an iconic race. And we'll touch on all those to clean up the helmet on helmets stockpile that's been forming. Raga, you ready to head to Monaco? I mean, it's happening. It's all happening right now. We've got eyes on Charles Leclerc. We've got eyes on Maxi Boy. We've got eyes on the Mercedes. We just went through our bold predictions.
Yeah. I mean, all of you, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, taking the Monaco Grand Prix, taking some of the Indy 500. Kick your feet up, get the grilling, get the chilling.
Yes, and thanks for tuning in to Purple Sector's Monaco Grand Preview. Go follow our social media, give us a ring or a text, and subscribe to the show our YouTube.
Stay safe this weekend.
See you on the track.
Purple Sector. Oh, it's purple.
Purple.
Three Purple Sectors.
Three Purple Sectors.
Yeah, the car is terrible to drive. Very difficult.
I want to change things. I want to stop Mercedes dominating.
Honestly, what are we doing? Racing or pink car?
Okay, Lewis, close that gap as much as you can. It's hammer time.
It's not getting the full flex.
did you call that last lap incident?
Brainless.
Daniel, a hard-fought fourth place in the end for you.
Hard-fought? Not really. I thought that was boring.
So I think we can call Max Verstappen the baby-faced assassin.
I think we clench our butt cheeks and hope we stay there to the end, Martin.
I'm driving like a grandma. What the f***?
Looks like my wife's driving that car.
Yeah, tell the safety car to slow down.
He's stroking that Ferrari.
I know I'm losing time to Vettel, but I really don't care.
They are racing.
So it's happy hour, basically.
People just simply don't have the balls to stick to what they say.
Mamma mia, what the hell is going on?
A firm boundary position, stay as they are. We'll talk about it after the race.
We are here to race and not to just hang out, so...